sweet voice too.
It's good to be here tonight. It's good to have Brother Snoddy. I've been looking forward to hearing him and glad that he's been able to come and be with us tonight. You pray for him and lift him up as he comes to bring God's word to us.
I had been toiling for about a week. We was on the way back from Chattanooga last Saturday from a funeral. My wife's best friend, daughter, died at age 45 with leukemia. And on the way back, she was driving, and I leaned back in the seat, and I'd been praying what the Lord want me to preach on. Did I need to preach to the church? Did I need to preach to the lost? I like old vision. I like to preach to the lost. Because I figure as long as your pastor's been here, he about got you straight. But no, I was toiling on it. I was toiling it on if I chose it the right way to go till I sat back there on that back bench. Your program was going on. Peter stepped up there, Luke did. He said, I told you to follow me. I knew right then that what I was had on my heart was supposed to be that way. So if you have your Bibles, turn with us to the, we've all read this for a long, many years, and probably the first prayer that we was, I don't say first prayer, because I believe he taught them how to pray here. This is going to be part of the Lord's Prayer. But I want you to first begin with the sixth verse. It says, take ye that you do not yourself alms before men, but to be seen of them, otherwise you have no rewards of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. Sometimes these glasses ain't made for me, but and the hypocrite in the days in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret. And the Father which he seeth in secret, himself shall reward them openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shuttest thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward you openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. After this manner wherefore ye pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, even amen. For if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Overlooking the mistakes that I made, that is reading 15 verses of the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew there for our reading lesson. For my text, I want to go over to the 18th chapter of the book of Luke. It's where Jesus was speaking a parable, and I want to use that very first verse that he spake to base my thought upon. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not faint. My thought on the way back from Chattanooga entered in my mind, and it could not get away from me. How much confidence do you have in your prayer? Now that is a personal question that each one of us can ask. How much confidence do I have in my prayer? Or how much confidence do I have in my church's prayers? Now I remember Brother Thomas Shoemake saying one time at our church that there was a man that where he was preaching at and a pastor that he called on him to pray, and he'd ask every time, "May I be excused?" And he'd keep asking him often. He'd say, "May I be excused?" And one day he said to him, "If God will excuse you, I will." The man fell to his knees and he said these words, "Lord, ooches up." Power went all over the house. People went to shouting. What I'm saying this for, that this Lord's Prayer was a teacher to his disciples. And this Lord's Prayer has been passed down to all generations since. I know that we meet in large congregations sometimes. The whole congregation dismisses with the Lord's Prayer somewhere. But this prayer, I want us to notice what he put in here. And I have been to lots of revivals, lots of churches over the last 50, 60 years. And the first year I retired, me and my wife went 23 different revivals. I'm not bragging about that. What I'm fixing to say is, I have been to churches and I have heard men pray that I thought they were praying like hypocrites. Now that's hard to heart to say, but now I'm going to tell you, when a man gets down and he prays alone, that he's got to get down there and he tells God and quote the scriptures to him, God knows the scriptures already. We don't have to give him the scriptures. He knows, but he wants us to know them too. And he said here in our reading lesson, "Doest thou not let thy left hand know or what thy right hand doeth? For thy alms may be in secret." In secret, he said, "and my Father which is in secret shall open these." Answer you in secret, in other words. Don't pray as they do. Don't get in the corner or in the street somewhere that you might be a seeing of men. Now, years ago, you could go downtown Nashville and you walk down to Mumbrum Street and you'd see somebody over there trying to pray unto God in a so-called unknown tongue. They didn't even know what you were speaking yourself. They was trying to get alms before men and not before God. I'm telling you, I believe that just as much as we sit right here. I worked with one time, and he was one of that type people. And I asked him, how did he understand what he said? He said, "I can't unless somebody takes me." I said, "Yes, that's what the Bible says. You can't unless somebody takes me, brother." And he said, "Don't speak in those type of tongues unless there is a interpreter there in the presence to interpret what you're saying in foreign language." Come to find out, they had schooling that they taught this stuff in. Because a whole lot goes on behind closed doors. We don't know about these doctrines, people. Beware of these false prophets. Beware of those that puts arms and wants to be heard of men. But notice what he went on to say as he was teaching them here. He told them there who to pray to, didn't he? He said, pray unto the Father. Now, of course, the Father was in heaven at that time, and Jesus was doing the speaking here. And we'll get to that just a little bit later, his part. But we see here that he said, hallowed be thy name. Let thy will be done up on earth as it's in heaven. Now, every time that we go in prayer, we get to be pretty anxious, don't we? We are type people that wants to see immediately results in something we do. And when we do that, brothers and sisters, I want you to know how we've done it up on our own, brother. We're looking for honor before men and not God. And our lead lesson said that he would answer with in his time. Said, not faint. Not faint. He goes on to tell us in the book of Luke over there, he said, I like to pray what? A repetition prayer. Well, how many times have you got to ask, Brother Luke? How many, Brother Spurgeon? How many times have you got to ask? I've been around people praying in our churches. They ask the same thing five times for a amen. Now that's a repetitious prayer. He said not to do that.
That's right.
Oh, then he went on over there. He said, go word. We all got closets, don't we? Oh, it's either got a door with a knob on it, you open it up, or he's got glider shutters on it, or he's got a sliding door to get in that closet. Now we got one in the hallway there, supposed to be at our house. You hang your coats in or hang the guest coats in when you come in. But you're going to find more than that in there. As I thought of this scripture, if a storm come up and I didn't get in the basement, I had to get in that closet quicker. But I tell you what I got to do before I get in that closet, I've got to clean it out first. I lay a broom from in there. I wore the dust off from in there. Even the vacuum cleaner. I couldn't get into it quickly, could I? Well, no. What did he mean when he said go into the closet then and shut the door? I bet everybody heard the news or something other this afternoon that was bad before you got home, before you got here. We get those things on our mind, what's going out there in Washington. We get the ball game done in tax on our mind. We get the things we've done during the week on our mind. We get our jobs on our mind. We get the concerns of our family on our mind. We have to clean that fleshly worry off. Those fleshly thoughts to be laid aside. That they would not hinder anything between me and God and my prayer. But anything that you let of the flesh stand in the way will hinder your prayer to God. When that happens, how many times do you come in on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, or what night it might be? You only pray at the traffic lights.
Well, I've done it.
I'm not going to tell you no story. I prayed at the traffic light.
Why?
I didn't take the time to do it at home before God. I wasn't ready to go to the house of the Lord.
While we read in the Bible, where alms is given three times a day.
Why, we don't able have time to do it 20 times. It wouldn't be too much, but we can't pray too much. We as God's people, I need to be praying that before we come in those doors.
I can remember at old Gladys Church up there where I got saved in Jackson County. The church sits up on a big hill now, but it used to sit over between the creek and the bottom. Cordell Hall Lake come in, they had to move it up on the hill because that's flooded. But at the back door was a shade tree. On Sunday morning, when you got there, you would see the men gathering at the back door around that old tree. Oh, you'd see the sister sitting over in the sister corner, or the banks there gathering. What were they doing? They was praying before the Sunday school or 11 o'clock service. They was ready to worship God. They could have this old flesh and stuff laid aside in touch with God. God can strip this away from me. He can strip this old filthy flesh away where it won't hinder things. I have to ask him to do it. Let's look at one of the hindrances right here. Was in this Lord's Prayer. We don't like to talk about it. But let me back up right here before I get started with this. He said, forgive me of my trespasses as I forgive them. Does what? Trespass against me. You think he gonna hear your prayer? If you hold it all against a brother or sister sitting back there somewhere in the house of God? He will not. That's the scriptures. It ain't what I said. That's what the Lord's Prayer he was teaching to do. How to pray. How to get ready to pray, in other words. Have all of these things out of the way. All right. He went on. Let me tell you about this. I was in the army. And I knew that Vietnam was hot. The war was going on. And this was 1966. And I carried a grudge against the man. I was vigorous about it. 1961. My precious brother. Life was taken because of a drunk missionary Baptist. Didn't want to hear that, did you? I didn't find that out until later on in the years. He was a member of Sunrise. I'm going to tell you about him. Where was I at? I ain't going to give his name. Somebody might be kin to him. I don't know. But it ain't going to change the way I'm going to preach and tell it. And I begin to think about that. I'd have to leave and go to Vietnam during my basic training. This Lord's Prayer that I was taught from youth of. You know, my mom and daddy taught me to pray at the table. My mom and daddy taught me to pray at my bedside when I was a kid. They prayed with me if I wouldn't have the voice to do it. I was taught to this by my Sunday school teachers when I was a young lad. How to pray. This right here. I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I forgive that man. Tell you how vigorous I was. I was 16 years old. This happened. I carried a log chain in my car. If I'd ever seen that man, I wouldn't be here today. I'm sorry to have to say that I was that type of person. I was hurt. I was revered. He was my brother. He was my hero. But I forgave that man. On my knees in the barracks up there. At Fort Knox, Kentucky. He's dead now, but he walked through that door. My forgiveness is so true. I have loved this. There's no telling how many sinners are there and went to hell because I couldn't get the prayer. Think of that now. You think about if you got a grudge somewhere. Or you talk about somebody out of order somewhere. And don't get that all straightened out. You might as well just pray for nobody but yourself till you get God to forgive you of it. Then God can hear your needs and your prayers. He can hear what do? Oh, Lord, give me my daily bread. He didn't deny you because you done that either, did he? But you weren't too good a steward over it because you weren't that thankful for it. But he gave that. He taught us how, didn't he? We got that closet and got everything stripped off now. If you were here lost in God, I want to give you one scripture. In the book of Psalms. Let's see if I can get over it and I can find it. In the 55th chapter, in the 16th verse. As for me, I will call upon God and the Lord, listen to this, shall save me. Woo! That's what he done one day. He saved me at Gladys Missionary Baptist Church. Now, church, let me give you some examples here. You know, John had already been killed. And they had Peter over there in jail. They had guards and soldiers that were guarding him, and they had him locked in stocks in his hands and his feet, where he couldn't get away. And we find that the little church was gathered together over there and planted at a house. I believe these people had faith in their prayer. And I'm going to tell you, prayer is works through God. James said, you show me thy faith without works, and I'll show you dead works. But faith is the key that unlocks the unknown. Oh, we find in a piece of letter, I believe it is. He said, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. All right. And now when I got saved, it wasn't nothing that I've done that was good enough to get saved. It all come by unmerited favors of God. Anyway, it says, what is faith? He said, faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for and evidence of things unseen. Now, what is a prayer if you don't have confidence in it? What is your prayer? What is my prayer? What's the church's prayer if you don't have confidence in it? If faith is things unseen. Brother, if you've got confidence, you've got hope. You've got hope in your prayer. You've got hope in the church's prayer. You've got a hope of God's deliverance. Why, my goodness. You know, I hear, hey, I grew up when they looked out the windows and the windows was up and stood in the back door and the house was full. There was power in the church. There was power in prayer. And there's power today. Because God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I change not. So they were over there praying together. Oh, they knew that what done happened to John. They done killed him. Oh, they was praying for the safety of Peter. There that they prayed to God in confidence and hope that they had never seen what happened before, over there in the jailhouse. They probably didn't even see him fast. There were no stocks in there. And they prayed for his safety. Oh, there was one sweet lady named Rhonda, wasn't it? Oh, that sister. She heard a knock at the door. She went there and she recognized who? Peter stood at the door and knocked. Oh, look at the heavens of faith and how those people's prayer tally went down just a little bit. And Rhonda turned them to answer back. Said, Peter stands and knocks at the door. Why, you've seen a vision. You ain't seen Peter. He said, yeah, Peter's at the door. Oh, sometimes one person in the church can hear from God first. She recognized the anger of God's prayer, and the rest of them begin to doubt. Oh, see how the devil can work in a prayer. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Beginning to work on him. Oh, here comes Peter in the door, didn't he? They all begin to... Can you imagine the shout went on? How free he was? Now let's take that free and put it in where a lost sinner was. We sung the song while y'all, he set me free to do. Oh, he gave me peace to me. Can you imagine when the church plays it like that and we have sinners on the altar that's convicted? It's a joy. Hear them get up and say, they got peace. I hear people say, well, I went to revival somewhere. Father, I've seen five faith say, you didn't see no such a thing. You might have heard five say that they got saved. I've never known but one person that got saved, and that's Gail Snoddy at Gladys Missionary Baptist Church one Sunday. Between the hour 11:30 and 12 o'clock, my good old mama walked back there where I was sitting on that side of the church. They had three rows of benches up there. I sit back there, my brother's sitting on the other end. We're about halfway back. And when my brother was older, he's supposed to come lost first. You know, all inside of me was eating me up already. Tore me up because on Saturday night, Brother Albert Crouch preached the hairs of your head and number. Oh, I didn't know how many lot of days I had left. I didn't know how long I would live. I got scared. I got frightened. I had torment got hold of my soul. And I made up my mind how quick the devil works. Now, don't you sinners see this too? In the country, they give an invitation for an altar call, and all the big old boys, they take off the back door. I said, boy, that's what I'm going to do. I know what happened. I got home too. But my good old mom come around, didn't take much. She laid her hand up on her head. I thought she was going to Larry. She said, Sonny, you lost. Your eye was already closed. I made my way to that old snack bench. Between 11:30 and 12 o'clock that day, the Lord saved my soul. I haven't been since, same since. You know, that's my story. And I know how to see it to it. Because God gave it to me. Sinner friend, I'm going to show you something about your prayer. But look how this prayer worked. I ain't through yet. I ain't got all that yet. I just got to get back to this in there. I got to get back to it. Now, this was before Jesus went away. You realize this now. But we find that when Jesus had finished his works, that he was standing there, and there were three men there, looking into the sky. He said, you see the same Jesus? Why are you guys standing there looking at the sky? They had hope, brother. He'd heard them say, the same Jesus you see go away is going to come back. How? In the lightning. He's going to come back on cloud. Oh, he's going to come back. Now, where did he go this time? He went to the Father. Now, you notice that he taught us to pray to who? The Father. And you go over in another chapter and you find where he prayed to the Father. That he was praying for his followers there. In the end of that chapter, it was saying that they were so that they might be what?
One.
God wants his people to be one. One mind and one accord all the time. Not part of the time. Not after the sermon, but before the sermon. So we find Jesus. God had a seat made for him. He see now Jesus, before he went away, he was saying to the Father over there, he said, "Oh, Father, my work is finished. I have taught these people my word. They have what? Received my word. They have grasped my word. I got to preach my word, and I've left it in their hands. They have taught them to glorify you, Father. Now it's time that I get a little glorified." That's what he said. It's time that I get a little glorified. So as he went up there, God set him on the right-hand throne of the Majesty. What is he doing there? He's my lawyer. He's your lawyer. He's there to intercede for us to have to the uttermost. That uttermost means what? Completely. You know, you hire a lawyer down here, he likes that money. Most of the time they don't complete the job like they should. But this lawyer will complete the job when you ask him, because he knows what you need, the scripture says, before you ever ask. Let's see how that's happened. Let's get over that a little bit too. Let's see. That happened over here in about the Roman letter, I think. Let me see. How about the 8th chapter here? Let's get in here a little bit more on this hope stuff in about the 24th verse. He'd already talked about the Spirit. He'd already said in the 16th verse, said, "My Spirit bears witness with your spirit that we are the children of God." Of course, he is talking to the children of God here. But I want you to notice in the 25th verse, let's go right there. "And now only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even ourselves groan well within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, of the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But we hope for that we see not. Then do we present wait, patience, wait for it. Likewise," now here's the part I wanted to get to. Oh, this is good part of praying right here, brother. This is when you begin to feel that it's going to get through. That's when our spirit gets to work with a comforter there. Woo! "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit itself," what? Look at that word, "intercedes sessions for us." With what? "With groaning, which cannot be uttered," or can't be understood. "And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, and to them are called to according to his purpose." See how we prayers work together. Oh, so many don't understand why we have Missionary Baptist Veterans of the Lord right here. Well, ain't no better example than what was over there at the house when he's playing for Peter, was it? Hey, they prayed for that power to come over in that jail to unlock their stocks around his legs and walk out of the city. When he walked out, you know what happened? There was gates on the outside. See them doors back there? He walked in them gates. They opened up by themselves. Part of what man see, they opened by himself. But God opened that gate up so he could see the way out. Get out quick. That's an example, isn't it? Sinner friend, I don't know who's lost, who ain't. I'm going to give you one more for you. There was two men went to the temple. One was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. The Pharisees were like what Jesus described in our reading lesson. He wanted to brag on himself. He wanted men to know how good he was. He wanted men to know how he tithed and gave the church and the people, whatever the need was. He went looking down on this old poor man over here, Miss Publican there. He said, God, I thank you I ain't like that publican there. I'm glad I ain't like him. He went on down and publican was humble. You know what humble means? Total surrender to God. See, this Pharisee didn't do anything like it. He didn't have nothing humble about him. But this publican, he knelt down and not even smarter on his breast, lift his eyes. He was so humble. He knew what he was, the sinner from him. He didn't have to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. That wasn't the words he used. He said, Lord, have mercy on me as a sinner. What did he tell that Pharisee and everybody else? He said, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other man. That's how you get through.
Amen.
Amen. Narrow is the way. You know, it ain't easy to strip this old body's flesh out of the way, sins out of the way. Get everybody else out of the way and focus that heart up on Jesus. They're making intercession. Sinner friend, it's you got to make that intercession. That's, you don't have the Spirit within you as I've got to groan for you. But you have mercy reaching the throne of God for you. Have mercy on me as a sinner. That's what he done. Come to my mind a while ago, I'm through preaching. Come to my mind, my wife remembers this. 42 years ago today, it's sitting in Greenfield Church. We were sitting on this side about the third seat back. Brother Thomas Shoemaker was my pastor. And I stepped out a week before that, Brother Pete Porter preached at church. I don't remember what he preached and anything good. I just remember the time. I went home that night. I tried to sleep. I couldn't sleep. I tried to pray. I couldn't run. I got in beside me. Come over to my bathroom. Knowing my brother had gotten killed and said he died before he preached. That's what happened. I said, God, if you let me live to Easter Sunday, my mom and dad wouldn't do that for me. We generally went back family day on Easter. Most of us do. That happens. I go down there and I tell them about my calling down there. That didn't work. The next Sunday I got up to testify. It got all in my throat, about the size of my fist. Next thing I know, I stepped outside that third bench, and I stepped in the whole church, but the Lord called me to preach. I looked at what folks you made, and he said, I wondered how long it'd take you to tell it. Well, I thought me and God was on one you wouldn't think about it. I could have been, you about it. I hadn't done it. That happened in September of 1967. Laying in her back bedroom in the Darrell, Kentucky on the phone. Lord, call me to preach. Laying back there. Tell you a little bit more about this. I was at Fort Knox, Kentucky. There's two witnesses here tonight. They called me out of work formation and they said, Red Cross wants to see you. And I knew something had to be wrong for Red Cross to want to see you. I went down there and they said they request you to come home, that your daddy has had a massive heart attack and not expect him to leave. So I went, cleared post and got my car. I didn't have been there long enough to get my car rested on posts outside of post. And I had about enough money to put $1 worth of gas in it and get it out of the parking lot. I come to Lisbon Town at the bank, pulled over, went in, told the man what I needed. And he called Simpson County Bank and said, let him have what he needs. So I left there to come home. And I was home 3 weeks. My daddy was in Vanderbilt. Dr. Billings would come out every day and he'd hold my mama's hand. He said, Miss Nighty, don't you? I don't see no hope, but don't give up. Randall Little didn't have the McDonald houses, anything there for us then. Ran a little room over there, first little change of clothes at. Oh, I went to eat breakfast at Uncle Chester's house that morning. He'd take me out there to breakfast and come get me. I got down on my knees, said, this Christian, repent. I left for the First Army, participated in things I shouldn't have. I said, God, you have chastised me because you love me. My daddy, you know how close it was to me. I said, God, if you get my daddy well, I'll do anything. He kept his promise. The next day, my daddy's eyes were open. New ring of poison was backing this away. His blood pressure was up and the poison was being let out through his kidneys. But when God called me to preach, I asked something easy to do. You told me if I would do this and you do that. Don't make a vow unto God and not try to keep it, because you're going to keep it. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your opportunity to come here and preach. Last time I preached your faith, Brother Russell was the pastor here. But you know, I felt your prayers. I felt the presence of Jesus, and that's the worst of your hope. God bless you all.
Brother Jim, let's have a song. He told me he had to preach here, so Brother Russell, it's a pastor. I said, well, it's been too long. I'm glad to have you back. Appreciate the message. Appreciate everything that you said. And I've written down as an action for me, I want the Lord, I want to have more confidence in my prayers and the church as well. And so we appreciate the good message. Also, I was only about 5 years old when he got called to preach, so I thought I'd just say that too.
Hey, I remember Drake Street Church. Back there, they got my son's school at Drake Street on this way. And I was up there during the revival, and that's a little boy back there, redheaded, had some little water looking bags and all. I never seen him before. He got it back up there. I didn't want to see him. I didn't want to forget him. I may be little. What you said? I may be little, but Lord, save my son. I want you to know about that. I never will forget that.
Bless your heart. Verse 44. Save lost souls that's in the past. anyone's heart. Take care for going home. May God bless you and hope you'll be able to come back and be with us another Sunday. We appreciate you coming and sharing with us tonight. All hearts and minds are open. Ask the Lord to dismiss us for just a little while until we'll be back. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We want to thank you for our blessings. We want to thank you for this good message. We want to thank you for the times that we've been able to steal away and pray. We're thankful, God, for this message and the message bearer. We thank you, God, for all the years of service that he's given to you. And we just pray, Lord, that you bless him and his good companions. They depart here and every member that makes up this church and all our friends and neighbors. We pray for the lost that they might be saved before it's eternally too late. Help us and watch over us and keep us safe and bless our homes and families and forgive us of our failures, sins, mistakes, and shortcomings. And we'll do our very best to give you the glory and the honor and praise. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.
Amen.